Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Narnia Web Council to episode 22, Trailer Analysis, Part 2. We're going to go ahead and pick up where Glumpuddle was telling me, and I didn't tell him I was recording this, but oh well. He was telling me about his wallpaper, which is a very closely zoomed in picture of Aslan roaring. So let's listen to him tell us about that now.
Yes, it's recording.
Like super zoomed in on his mouth, and it's like, ah! It's like he could reach out at his screen any second and rip my head off.
You're looking at the wallpaper of Aslan's mouth on your desktop.
Yeah.
I'm recording this, and this is staying in the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, record my stunned silence for a few seconds. That really, honestly, seriously gives me the shivers.
Good to hear.
So, once again, if nothing else, they nailed the design in Prince Caspian. Whatever they do,
yep.
I literally mean looks awesome.
It does. Well, let's see. We also have Trumpkin in the boat,
yes,
like he was in the book. And he's a red dwarf.
Just like he is in the book.
Well, maybe not just like he is in the book, but he's red.
Right, that's true. I don't really like the strawberry blonde much when I saw it. When I first saw it on set, and I still don't really care for it now. I'd be very interested in learning what they were thinking. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean like what their thinking was when they decided to do that
so
color.
So you wouldn't go up to Andrew and say, "What were you thinking?" You just go, "Andrew, what were you thinking?"
Right. I think, what were you thinking? I really want to know. What were you thinking? tell me, seriously.
What were you thinking? It's not so bad. But I must say, I love the look of the black dwarves much better than the red dwarves.
Yeah, I think Nicky Brick looks a lot cooler than Trumpkin.
Yeah.
I guess the color black is just easier, I guess, in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. While we're talking about the boat shot, I think I like their Narnian clothes and this one a lot better than in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, I think it's a good, especially Lucy's.
Yeah,
I love
definitely.
Her so much better. Yeah. Georgie's grown up, by the way.
Yes, but actually it doesn't really seem to... I can still look at her and say, yeah, I can accept that that's Lucy, you know?
Someday I'll have to show you a picture of my little cousin. She's Georgie's age, and she's blonde, but she looks just like her. It is so scary.
Oh, wow.
Her mannerisms, it's a blonde American Lucy, basically.
Yeah.
I'll show you a picture. She was sick when I told her that.
So
they
it's
were...
like the animated cartoon, the animated one, basically, of blonde
American
Lucy.
It's weird. She actually could have been her riding double. She's an excellent horseman or horsewoman.
Cool.
She was sick when I told her they already had a double for Lucy. She about cried. But anyway, yeah, I love the look of the clothes and stuff in that shot.
And it's cool that they're in the boat like they are in the book. So.
Mm-hmm.
You look kind of cramped. But,
yep.
The next shot at 146 is the Dancing Lawn, which I got to see that set when it was not quite finished. That was the first set I saw. And it's cool to see it finished. And most of those trees are real. It's in the soundstage, but the real trees were like transported there. And some of them are fake. And it looks like the centaurs are kind of, you know, cheering and pledging their allegiance to Caspian, I would assume is what's happening there.
Yeah, and... I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of expression I'd have on my face if I was him, but
yeah,
okay.
And so the next one's pretty controversial. 148 with Caspian doing something to Miraz with the sword.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I'm looking at it. I just had the thought. I wonder if Caspian is holding Miraz's sword.
Maybe
although their swords look pretty similar. So
when is that to the duel? That's the real question.
I think it must be. You think it has to be after the duel? Maybe during the battle, he like gets a chance to do it or something. Now I do remember, I remember when we were talking to Ben Barnes, and we had just seen they were filming the shot of Peter and Edmund walking out of the How, and all the Narnians are cheering him on and everything. And I asked him, where is Caspian during that scene? You know, why weren't you on set? And he kind of hesitated for a while and said, he's about to join them. He's up to something, but that might spoil it. So I wonder if there's something going on here. I mean, it's got to be Miraz, right? Who else could it be?
Yeah.
You can see just a hint of gold right there. And the head looks right. And
It's just because if it's before the duel, then why would he let him go. Let him go back up. He's
yeah,
defeated,
I don't
apparently.
Really. Yeah, I don't get. How could it be before the duel? I don't. I mean, who knows what they've changed?
But if it's after the duel, if it's after the duel, then we lose Glazel killing Miraz, which is.
Well, the question is Caspian raising his sword about to kill Miraz, or is he raising his sword to put it back in its sheath?
Does it matter?
I think if he's
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Can we assume, because they actually, in the Sergio interview, they actually say that Glazel stabs Miraz in the back. Now, do they mean that literally or figuratively? I'm not sure. It's kind of like the global warming thing. It's like, what exactly do you mean by that? So,
yes, exactly. But
I'm assuming that during the battle, Caspian just gets like one chance to kill Miraz, and he like forgives them or something like that. I don't like it either.
I think it's a sticky situation that could change a lot of. I think it could have a big ripple effect. Let's say
hey, it makes you wonder about the shot in the earlier video blog, where it looked like Caspian was pointing his sword at Miraz, and does he get two chances to do that? You know, so it's obviously, and you have to assume that there. If we're picking up on one little thing, that seems out of place, then that means it's actually going to be like a lot more connected to that. You know, because we're just getting a little piece of it.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
So the next shot is 149, and it shows Caspian and some of the old Narnians underground, and they're racing towards the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Caspian has a torch in his hand, and he's, you know, flipping out. So I got to see that set, although I'm pretty sure all those guys are shot against green screen.
I wonder how many of those guys are real.
I would say, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Caspian shot against green screen. They look,
remember,
most of them look CG behind him.
Remember the charge in the first film? I was amazed to find out that only Ottman and Peter were real, pretty much.
Charge.
So it's hard to say, but.
The next shot at one, also 149, looks like maybe Asterius breaking down the gate. He's like bunning his
mm-hmm.
head into it, I would guess.
Yeah.
That's what I would say it is. And then you've got a very strong Trumpkin hanging on to Susan.
Well,
I'm not sure when that is. Maybe a boulder hit damages part of the howl they're sitting on and they fall down and he just catches her.
Could it possibly be at the ruins of Caer Paravel?
No, but that's definitely the how.
Okay.
Definitely, because I went there. So.
Okay.
That's actually the exact
Narnia.
Place where it's
at. Even to Narnia, my friend, I trust you.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. Oh. Sorry, I needed a few seconds to recover. We're on the shot.
Yes.
151.
The shot comes, I think, the next one, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this appears to be the hag sticking the witch's wand into the
broken witch's wand.
And
yeah.
for those of you who haven't seen the trailer, I'm not making this up. This is actually in the trailer.
Oh, yes.
And it appears that this, you know, supernatural ice thingy comes, and then the white witch appears.
Inside
then
the
everyone,
ice.
All the fans run out of the room screaming. And so what do you suppose they're thinking is behind this?
Okay.
You know, I'm just going to say it. What are they thinking? I'm going to say it like that.
Okay, here's what I think they're thinking.
Foreshadowing?
Well, no, I don't think it's foreshadowing.
Okay.
I've heard a little bit of the foreshadowing theory. I don't really buy it quite so much. Here's what I think. The book, when I was reading the book, the question from my mind was always, could they have really called up the witch?
Right.
I kind of got the idea, no, they couldn't have actually done it if they had been able to go through with it. It probably wouldn't have worked. But here, I think the question is, yes, they would actually be able to call up the White Witch. And I don't mind that so much as far as just taking the incantation one step further. I don't mind that so much as I'm really not liking Caspian's reaction. For one thing, he seems to be going along with it. And of course there's the famous blood on his hand shot as he's reaching for the witch. But there's also the fact that he's in the room with the with the werewolf. And the werewolf is still, it's a werewolf. It's obviously a werewolf. It's not a man who's not yet taken form. So in the book, it's clearly contradicting the book, because in the book, the minute he finds out it's a hag and a werewolf, he draws his sword.
Right,
and so
right.
I see this
here
as,
he's
yes. So
totally, Caspian. The whole everything we've heard about the character seems very different from how he is in the book. I think that's one of But my most, the biggest, most potentially disturbing changes about the movie is what they've done with the character of Caspian.
Yes, exactly. And I just don't, I'm more concerned about that than the White Witch. But my first fear with what I heard about the White Witch, I thought, so I thought maybe they were going to, you know, reel her in frozen entombed in this ice block, like a mummy, and say,
yeah,
hey, look what we found in the basement.
This is obviously some kind of supernatural thing he's seeing.
Yeah. So,
and, yeah, to me, the White Witch, the reason I don't like it is that, it first off, it seems like such a dramatic change to Caspian's character that he seems to be going along with this. And also, it's just too, I mean, you know, like on Amazing Spider-Man issue like number 400, they brought the Green Goblin back, and they brought Harry back, and it's just after like 400 issues, they start running out of ideas, and so it's like, well, let's just bring back long dead characters, and so that's what it feels very much like to me, like, oh, let's bring the White Witch. But that's the reason.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was poking fun of. When I did that at the end of my fam trailer.
When you cursed Prince Caspian. Thanks, Gwenpuddle.
Huh?
When you cursed our film. Thank you.
Yes, yes. At the end of my fam trailer that I put on YouTube, this is long before, you know, we'd heard seen any footage or anything. I just said, put the line, whoever heard of a witch that really died, you can always get them back. And it was just a joke. Like, oh, that means that's like a soap opera kind of thing to do. Like, oh, bring back this, oh, you know, Jason, I thought you were dead, you know, kind of thing. And just like making fun of that.
Yes.
And now it looks like they're actually doing it. But I'm not the one that came up with the Caspian Susan April Fool. So the blood's off my hands for that one.
Hey,
Caspian
I fan. Even in my April Fool's, it was not a full-fledged romance.
Right,
so,
right.
And it didn't make it into this teaser.
Yeah.
So... okay, now I have to ask you, what do you know from your visit to Narnia about this? Because you knew something about this.
I did see something to me that indicated that the White Witch was going to be in the film, and I was absolutely immediately sworn to secrecy as soon as I asked about it. And I've been in a state of, like, I don't know what ever since then. Like, I've been just can't even... look anyone in the eye. I can't really sleep, you know, and not just because it's in there, but because I couldn't tell anybody. And so now that it's, you know, pretty much out, I'm pretty relieved.
Yes.
So,
you also
couldn't
tell anyone about
and horrified
secrets,
at the same time. Like when I first saw it, it was like that moment where I found out all over again. It's like, no, why are they doing this? You know.
Well,
but,
at least it's not. They're keeping it to a level where it's well, she's not actually back. It's almost like it's an image.
Yeah, I wonder if she'll actually speak.
If it's more like Saul calling up Elijah, you know, it's
maybe. Yeah. Had it not been for that shot, or just those few shots of the whole White Witch thing, I would, without hesitating, give a thumbs up and say the trailer is awesome. The movie looks awesome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but because of that, I have to say, it looks good. But then I have to do a little disclaimer. But except for that White Witch thing, it drives me insane. That's the only thing that, like, Susan dive bombing, that's kind of dumb. A couple little changes, that's kind of dumb. But this is just, I can't stand it.
Well, at least this will, well, I'm guessing, be limited to one scene in the movie. You know, for me, the Susan...
Just get on your DVD remote and it's fixed, kind of like the Melting River scene.
Yeah, well, for me, the scene with, you know, the stuff with Susan, personally, I think Susan loses a lot of her identity if she's
actually, this is the very next shot at 1:52. Susan appears to be throwing an arrow.
Bring it up.
And
okay,
Susan fighting at all seems way too out there for me. We know from Horse and His Boy that, well, Lucy fights, Susan just doesn't. That's just not who she is.
Yeah, okay.
And, it's not just a little change they're making. It's a 180-degree turn away from what her character. It'd be like Reepy Cheep seeing the Telmarines and running away screaming. Yeah, it'd be like screaming like Ginnerick, just like that. So it's just like it feel like to me how they sat down and said, how can we make it her character the exact opposite? Because that is what you would come up with. Is let's have her Legolas fight and throw arrows and.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say right now, I've, of course, done archery and stuff. I'm no expert, but if any of you out there know of someone who's successfully thrown arrows, email me, rillian@narnaweb.com. I've
only
never
Queen
heard
Susan
of that.
Only Queen Susan the Gentle can do it.
Only Susan the Gentle can do it. But
because she's so gentle, she can pull it off.
But really, I think it's like you lose Because I'm going to say, honestly, I think for the most part, Susan in the first film was pretty true to her character. I mean, it's not, you know, it's kind of the practical Susan of, well, you know, let's, you know, do this or let's think through this. That mm-hmm. you know, very much the kind of, well, I'm, you know, big sister. You know, that yeah. I think for the most part, Susan in the first film was faithful, and here it's like she loses that the minute she
like I'm watching this scene, and I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, most of the movie I'd say is, you know, just, well, it's not quite how I imagine it, but it's close enough, and I can just kind of accept for 2 hours that, you know, that's Trumpkin, that's Nick of Brick, that's Caspian. I can just accept it for 2 hours. But Susan starts doing that, and I'm watching this scene, and I can no longer accept that it's Susan.
Exactly. One shot.
And I definitely don't think she's throwing an arrow at the
No,
ice.
She's not. Look at the
Obviously
steps behind
not.
Her. No.
You really look at the shots, and that's definitely from the Night Raid.
Compare her costume from that shot with the Night Raid and with the scene where she's in the place with Caspian and the
yeah, and it looks like someone with a sword behind her as well.
Yeah,
like
so
in the background. So
don't worry about that.
Obviously, and the ice is shattering outwards, not inwards. So it's obvious yeah. They're obviously not connected.
And hey, Glumpal, at least the ice shatters.
Yes, that's true.
At least
no matter what happens, he's not actually coming back. Or
yeah.
I don't want to jinx it again. But
no, don't say anything.
Yeah, the White Witch is coming back. Oh man, she's gonna be like the main character. Like she's gonna set up the sequel, and then oh, actually, this leads to a non-joke. I just hope they don't bring the White Witch back in Dawn Treader because they do see her so nice. So what if they like
oh,
see another opportunity?
I don't think
to,
they won't. Don't
yeah,
worry.
I probably shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I'll post it on Narnie Web as an April Fool's joke. That way, you know,
it'll come true.
Would, yeah, that's yeah. We've kind of jinxed the film too many times. I'm getting depressed. Let's talk about the trebuchets. Let's talk about something cool.
Okay, trebuchets.
Cool word.
Very cool word. Cool shot. I like the forward motion of the camera. Very unoriginal, but it's unoriginal. But hey, it's not too bad. And they have ballistas too, I noticed.
Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. Hello, everybody.
Hi. How are you doing, Glumpuddle?
You know very well. How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
Okay, let's finish this up.
Let's finish
this up. So, the trebuchets, yes, reminded me a lot of Return of the King. Not that Return of the King is the first ever use of trebuchets, but, and I got to go there, by the way. What? Yeah, it turns out that not everything in Lord of the Rings is 100%. Like, there were things like it done before.
Yes,
it turns out.
In real life. Never mind.
By the way, everybody, I love Lord of the Rings. There's a lot of original and groundbreaking things in it.
Yes, we both know that. Well, anyway,
but
trebuchet is cool. What do we have also?
Caspian hanging onto a Gryphon and swinging it. I don't know what.
He's missing.
Like, yeah, whatever he's trying to get. Looks like explosions going off all around them.
Mm-hmm.
In one shot. Oh, fireworks.
Fireworks, beautiful. I love
for
that.
Like you said, for the Prince Caspian poster, that's July.
That's for July for the Americans and the French. So
then it's November for other people.
Yeah.
But for the British. Anyway, so that's like exactly how I imagine that scene in the book. I would guess that Destrier is kind of rearing because Caspian's like coming to a sudden stop to look. But I love that shot. It's so much how I imagine.
Although
it
I didn't imagine it in a town, but oh well.
Eh, whatever. I actually kind of did it. Actually, I guess I did it then. I don't know. I don't remember what I remember. But we've got a great shot of Aslan after that, jumping over somebody.
Probably at Trumpkin.
Yep. And son of Earth, shall we be friends? And I'm doubtful that they'll actually have him throw Trumpkin into the air, but I can hope. Because they cut out so much of them playing with Aslan in they cut the whole thing out.
At
the whole thing was gone.
Not yawning. I mean, breathing at him.
Yeah. And then you've got them shouting for Narnia. And that's another set I visited. The Night Raid and for Narnia. You know, I wonder if they'll actually. Are we agreed that that's Peter, by the way? Should shouting
I
at?
Think it's Peter. It doesn't sound like it's for Narnia. I don't know how you say it with a Caspian accent.
Let me listen again. Listen one more time here. For Narnia! Yeah, I guess we can assume. Fenonia. I don't know how you say it with the Telmarine.
Let's see. What does it sound like in the first one?
Fenonia! Fenonia! And for Aslan! Fenonia! Or the way it was originally. It was "They will not take Narnia."
Oh well.
So yeah, kind of, and then you got Susan fighting here again, looking all mean and totally not Susan-like.
And Xena-like.
Yes. Yeah, it's just not Susan to me. And then it looks like wolves here. And if you look at a shot of Aslan Tai, you're going to see a wolf running alongside one of them, apparently fighting for the Narnian army. And I just don't like the crossover they're doing. They're making such a big thing of it, it seems like. Making like characters like Mindhorse, making them good guys. I'm still uncomfortable with it.
Hey, at least we don't have ogres in there. It could be a lot worse.
Shh, don't say that. Don't say that. Now they're going to hear, they go, oh, we should put a few ogres in there.
Okay, maybe I'll edit this out. But
yeah.
I just don't want to give them ideas. But
you definitely should
at least
edit this out. In fact, I'm so proud of what we're saying right now. No one is ever going to hear.
Well, now you're tempting me. Don't say anything else. I haven't decided. Oh, great. Thanks a lot, Glumpuddle.
So, Miraz slamming a shield into Peter at about 2:07.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Very nice.
And the golden compass goes right into the camera.
Not the golden lithiometer.
It's the gold. It's a compass and it's gold. It's a golden compass. And what do you think of the river god?
Oh, the river god. Boy, I hadn't really thought of this before. let's
sorry
see.
Sorry to catch you off your guard.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't really fit my imagination. I imagine them more as the spirits. For instance, like the dryads, you know, a spirit comes out of the tree, and all of a sudden the spirit looks like a person, although when you look closer, it's not quite a person. It's not the actual leaves of the tree flittering off and tree going bald, you know?
Yeah, I just kind of think they could have done it. It just reminds me of Hydro-Man from the Spider-Man comics, who's basically sand, only water. So that's the thing I thought about. Seems like they could have done something more original, like the Pauline Baynes idea. It maybe looks a little too much like Treebeard, maybe they were afraid of. But it's just kind of like mud and grass and stuff and water kind of comes together to form him. And I thought that was kind of a cool idea.
How I would kind of imagined him.
But he still looks neat, and it's a breathtaking shot, and I like his face.
And it does sort of match the description from the book, so I'm not
the book
so
doesn't
mad.
Give you much, you know.
Yeah.
But the next shot is probably my favorite shot in the whole movie or that we've seen so far is I've set it as my wallpaper, and I actually did a huge, huge zoom-in close-up of Aslan's mouth in the last shot, and it looks, every time I turn on my computer, I almost wet myself. It just looks so incredibly not safe. That's what it is. It's just, the Aslan in the first one I felt was too tame, and this one does not look like a tame Aslan. I can't even say, that shot of Aslan just blows my mind more than all the Aslan shots in the first movie put together.
Yeah. I think that they really nailed Aslan, and I'm glad, of course, that Liam Neeson is back. It would be horrible if we got a different voice.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So what are your overall thoughts on the trailer?
My overall thoughts? I am maybe looking forward to the film a little more, but I'm not necessarily thinking it's all that much. I mean, on one hand, I'm really excited to see that a lot of things have done well. The design and so much of the stuff looks amazing.
Oh, just flawless. Visual effects, costumes,
yeah,
cinematography, everything just looks light years ahead of Lion,
the
Witch,
and the look is gorgeous. Everything. I can't really pick anything about that there. But again, there's some little things that have, again, new stuff that's popped up too that
I'm not sure what the reason was for hiring a new cinematographer for this film, but it was a good idea.
That was,
it
yes.
Seems.
I there's little things about Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe I really liked about cinematography, but I think it's one of the good best ways to get a different feel, really, for a film.
Yeah.
Because the cinematographer is the eyes of the audience, basically.
I totally agree. And I feel more excited to see the film. Now we have all this footage and everything, and I'm freaking out. But I do kind of find myself saying pretty much the same thing, that, you know, I'm nervous about how far they've gone with these changes to the story, but the design looks like Oscar nominee worthy, eye blowing, flawless stuff, and just everything about it. And you know, so much for all the, you know, talk about the, you know, the changing visual effects houses, all the worry over that. I mean, if there was a difference, it was obviously for the better, it looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly like, so yeah, I had it not been for the White Witch, this is kind of my people up to me, and you know, you come up to me and ask me, so what'd you think of the trailer?
And Caspian too, and the White Witch scene.
Yeah. I mean, had it not been for that scene, I think I would not even hesitate and say, oh, I think it's an awesome trailer. It looks pretty cool. But because of that shot, I have to kind of hesitate and say, I like it. It's just that White Witch thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I have to throw that little disclaimer in there at the end. So I think this trailer is so, as a trailer, as far as editing and music and everything, I think this trailer is a bazillion times better than than any of the Narnia trailers, except maybe the 9-minute one. This is way better than the first line of the Witch and the Wardrobe trailer, I think.
Yeah, I think it's better. Although it's interesting that I'm surprised how far along we are in terms of special effects. Because with the first Narnia trailer, we didn't get nearly as, of course.
Like they were rushing to get Aslan good enough to where they could show him in the trailer, and he looked terrible in those two or three shots that we saw. And here he looks, wow. Maybe these are unfinished shots.
Who knows? Remember the shot of Phoenix going across the battlefield? You see the other army, but you don't see all the other guys on either side, so who knows?
Yeah, Aslan was only half finished, if that, and there are shots where the beavers are missing in that first trailer.
Who knows? We may see some of these shots again with Rivici. You never know.
That's right. I'm hoping that'd be pretty awesome.
I'm wondering if the shot of, if Caspian, you know, turning his sword to whoever enters the room with Nickelback there, if Truffle Hunter's going to be with him.
Oh, yeah, we still haven't seen Truffle Hunter, have we?
Nope.
I mean, I saw a stuffed animal on set that looked like Truffle Hunter, and believe it or not, it looked like a badger. So,
not a lab rat.
I know. Breaking news here. It wasn't a lab badger. It wasn't a white badger. It was just a regular badger.
Good.
the tension's still up about whether or not Rivici will be white. We still haven't seen a shot of him. Maybe they're hard at work changing his fur color, and that's why he wasn't ready for the trailer.
How should we change the future for this? How do we curse
last time we said there wasn't going to be any news, and there wasn't any news. So I guess we should say Reapy Cheap is – well, I guess we just tell the truth. Or not the truth, but be optimistic and say Reapy Cheap is going to be, like, black, totally black. You won't even be able to see him. He'll be so black.
I don't know if we want to say that.
He'll be blacker than, like, a – yeah. Well, how should we say it?
You're
well,
saying
if
it.
If you do that,
you're saying it.
Go as far as we can with it, then maybe, I don't know.
Rivici Cheap will be perfect.
Yes, he'll be perfect in every way, exactly as C.S. Lewis.
Like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way.
Well, overall, I think it's a cool trailer. Obviously, it has some, you know, as far as the trailer, it's brilliant. But as far as the way the movie looks, I feel pretty much the same about it. Probably a few more positives. I think overall, like, I got, as far as quantity, I got more positives out of this than negatives, but there's such a huge negative, like that one major negative with the witch.
And
Caspian
holding his blade up to Miraz, which means who knows what.
Yeah, that's the thing. And there's a lot of uncertainty from this trailer, too.
Yeah, well.
So head on over to the forum and discuss it. There's a little plug.
Yes, let's just go over to the forums. I've been there, and of course, I started a thread about the White Witch scene, so if you want to talk about that. And there's a bunch of other good threads that have been started, so. Oh, so much fun.
So how much time left here? And my countdown clock's taking a while to load. Good old Apple letting us down. 160 days, 3 hours, 21 minutes, and 9 seconds. Until the movie's released.
There was one good thing about that.
What's a good thing about that?
Well, we just using it more of that time doing the podcast and spending time on NarniWeb.
That's right.
Oh, what would we do without NarniWeb to pass the time?
Oh, my.
Or chocolate, or Transformers, or books, or the Narnia movie, or...
I'd probably read the books. Go on YouTube, you know? So I wouldn't be lost.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be reading the book. I'm definitely going to be reading the book.
Well, I wouldn't have gone on set, so I totally take that back. I don't know what I would do without NarniWeb.
Oh.
There you go.
I would spend a lot more time waiting for the movie.
Yes.
Well.
And just sitting there.
Thank you very much for joining us, Glum Puddle. Or joining me. I don't know why.
Okay,
I say
thank
us.
You.
Is anyone else listening?
I enjoy... Well, I would hope. Is anyone else listening?
I don't know. Let's find out. If you want to email us at rillian@narniweb.com
or you can comment
or you can email glumpuddle at narniweb.com.
Yes. And you really and I enjoyed all five takes of this.
I did too, mate. Thank you very much. And we get better and better.
Yeah, hey, we did, hey, and we got faster.
I'm doing my part to take up the time between now and the movie. This is all planned, so none of this was an accident.
Yes, yes. It just makes time go faster.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Glenn Pubble.
Okay, I think I'll go watch the trailer.
Oh, me too. Let's watch it right now, in fact.
Okay, bye.
Bye.